Bobby's explaining how he lost all his money on parsnip seeds.
I blew it all on parsnip seeds. But hey.
Not coconut.
Come spring, that shit's going to pay off.
Big time. Parsnips fucking everywhere.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. With Ender's Logic, Blopsy. And your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode.
Yeah.
Here with the usual crew. We got Chad, we got Emilio, we got myself.
Bikini Girls.
Yeah. The entourage.
Booze.
So what's been happening? What's your week been like?
Been bouncing around from game to game to game. Just kind of, nothing's really stuck this week, but I've been having a lot of fun with these games that I've been bouncing around with.
I was up in LA this weekend playing a game called Broom Ball, which is not a video game, it's a real game.
RL?
Yeah, in RL.
Yeah.
You play it on an ice rink, but you're on tennis shoes, and I imagine you originally played with brooms, but now you play with these sticks that have little knobs on the end, and you play with kind of like a hard handball.
Okay.
So you're playing hockey, but you're on ice.
What's this knob made of?
So there's
rubber?
Red knobs and broomsticks in this game?
It's sort of, but you're on ice on tennis shoes and trying to run around.
Right.
So you're falling down a lot.
Yeah.
I'm like bruised up. I got...
Dead knee pads?
I mean, I do, but not for this particular occasion.
Right.
So I'm a little bruised up now. So, that was my week.
Awesome.
Bobby?
Yeah, nothing exciting on this front.
You still have school you're going through, right?
Yeah, I got a lot of shit I'm going through.
School, work,
yeah, my life
podcast,
sucks right now.
Girlfriend?
Yeah, I actually had kind of a slow week, I thought, and then I realized I missed some assignments, so, you know.
Are you going to fail, Bobby?
Oh, no, I'm far from failing.
Come on, Bobby, step the game up.
Yeah. Eh, who cares, though? I'm fucking 33, working on a bachelor's. I mean, who cares?
Hey, it's never too late, kids.
Even if I get one, cool. It's like not even going to change my life, really. Or who knows? Maybe it will. Maybe I don't want to downplay it. But
bringing me down, Jesus.
I know. It's a great note to start off the episode.
Who put this guy in charge?
No, seriously.
Hey, everybody. Well, I don't know why we're here, but we're here again. Life pretty much sucks. The only thing keeping me alive is this podcast. But I can't even do that right.
Wow.
That's what keeps me going. All right. So should we... Well, before we get into the games that are coming up this week, we want to mention a few things coming up in this episode. We do finally have our first listener spotlight.
Woo.
Thank you to Lab Monkey for stepping up. He's been on the podcast before when we interviewed him for going to QuakeCon. But, yeah, he killed it on this little mini podcast. And if you want to be on it, just hit us up. And all it takes is for me to you and you to be online at the same time. Send me a friend request. I'll probably be handling these or Chad or whatever, whoever you want. Just friend request them and then try to work out a time with them.
Yeah.
And if you're new to the listener and don't know how to get a hold of us, you can find us on the DL Gaming Steam group or our website, dlgaming.net. So if you're finding us on iTunes or Google, hopefully soon, that's the easiest way to get a hold of us, our Steam group.
Yeah, everything's on the website, dlgaming.net. We got links to our Steam profiles on there, Twitch, Twitter, all that.
Is my email on there yet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Related to that, the Valve gift card, you want to...
Yeah, so Chad has a Valve gift card that we're going to give away. And what this gift card does, when you put in the code, it gives you everything Valve has ever made. So, if you just email me
I don't know ever, but...
I mean...
On Steam.
Yeah, on Steam. Email me and just let me know who you want to give it to. Whoever has the best story, I'll give it to, and then we'll mention you on the podcast, too. Generally, we were thinking... This is for my friend that's getting into gaming, something like that.
It's a good PC gamer starter kit.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe I was hacking too much Counter-Strike, so my whole Steam profile got destroyed, something like that. So, yeah, we want to give that away. Just don't know how. convince me. That's Emilio@dlgaming.net.
Yep.
All right, there's a challenge. So are we ready to get into games coming out this week?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, first up, The Division. We all played the beta. Are we excited?
I did not actually play the beta, but I sound like I'm the most excited about it coming out.
I'm pretty excited about this. I want to play this.
So this comes out technically tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm down.
Are you picking up a copy tomorrow, Mill?
Depends how cheap it is on G2A. Because Far Cry Primal was only $30, so I'm going to buy that for sure.
Because it's a piece of shit game?
It's not a piece of shit game.
Well, no, they sell actually on G2A, you can get it for pretty cheap because it's a Uplay code.
Right.
So it's not a Steam code. I mean, you still get the game.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. And so The Division is going to be $60 off the bat, so...
Yeah,
let's wait for the first reviews, I guess.
A lot of times G2A will run a big promotion when a game's coming out. This happened with XCOM. I haven't seen anything for The Division, though, and I don't think they're offering any pre-order bonuses.
Is that their game?
It's,
Is which game, whose game?
Division going to be on Uplay?
He was talking G2A.
Oh.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Stick with it. Come on. All right. Pay attention.
But I think you can get The Division on Uplay, and it'll probably be cheaper for a code on that.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Bobby, you're not excited? You're probably not going to pick it up?
I don't think so. Yeah. I've got a lot of other games I'm excited about. That is not one of them. That's medium to low on the excitement level.
Cool.
So, WWE 2016.
No, 2K16.
Does anybody on PC play this?
No.
I don't know.
It's got to be enough for them to justify making it. Because did they make a 2K15?
Anybody probably. Know?
Okay.
So. I mean, we're not in a circle of friends that are big into WWE, but there are definitely circles of people that are really into WWE. And let's be honest, WWE is a perfect platform for gaming. You know, it's basically Street Fighter put into a ring. You know, they got kind of like ridiculous moves. Yeah. And
I played wrestling games in the past. There was one on the Nintendo, and there was one on... Oh, what was another wrestling? There was one in the arcade. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember loving that game.
It was like tag team something?
Yeah, it was like WWF like tag team. And it had like all the Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, like those types of wrestlers from that era.
Isn't it funny that when you play the game, it's actually more real than the real thing? Because the outcome is by skill and not by whoever.
We played this, some of my buddies and I played this a couple years ago. I'm not sure if it was the 2K version or what, but we all created a wrestler based on ourselves, and so mine was Chadley Von Badley, which was, there was a three-name wrestler, and I'm drawing a blank on what he was, so it was kind of a take on that. He would always, like, point to his back, and so people still call me Chadley Von Badley sometimes, just because of this game that we played for a while. So I have a lot of fun playing this, but I don't plan on picking this one up. This is a console. This seems like a controller living room kind of game. So, mode.
That doesn't exclude it from the.
I've never played any of these games, and I'm kind of interested to try one out. But that's about as far as it goes. It's the same thing with the NBA 2K15, 2K16. Never played any of those games. I'd like to try one out just to see what they're about.
Bobby, were you into the WWF when you were younger?
No, not really.
Yeah, I was never into it.
Like a little bit. I really enjoyed wrestling when I was young, but I didn't really watch that much of it.
Yeah.
Like WrestleMania, would you order the WrestleMania?
Oh, no, not at all.
I was going to ask you guys when was the point when you were like, oh, this is obviously fake. Did you guys know?
It wasn't like ever in my, like I would hear like WrestleMania or Hulk Hogan or something, but I wouldn't know. My parents didn't have cable.
Yeah.
We didn't have cable, so how were we going to get pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like I kind of felt like I always knew that it wasn't real, but in a sense that it didn't stop me from enjoying it. It's like when you go to a play, you know it's not real, but you still kind of allow yourself to buy into it.
You didn't know that it was fake when you were young. No way. It was like Santa Claus.
Yeah. See, I don't know at what point I stopped believing in Santa Claus either. Spoiler alert, no Santa. I've been very skeptical my whole life.
You are a skeptical person, that's for sure, Bobby.
We just destroyed somebody's WWE dreams.
Yeah,
actually.
Seriously.
What? It's not real.
I don't even know who the wrestlers are these days.
I know a couple of them. You know John Cena. And,
John Cena.
But that's mostly because they're in the PC gaming realm now.
Yeah.
They're so
yeah.
Big. But anyway, we somehow got a bootleg copy of the one WrestleMania, and it was the Royal Rumble, and Ric Flair kept knocking himself down over and over because there's 30 people on screen.
Yeah,
and so somebody's like, "Watch Ric Flair," and he's just falling over and over with nobody even near him. But there's 30 people in the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, "What is going on?" And that right there is like, this is all staged. Although, now in retrospect, it's not a bad strategy to keep knocking yourself down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Major boy Ric Flair.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I know a lot of girls that are into wrestling.
Well, it's buff, shirtless, nearly naked dudes.
And it's a soap opera.
Grappling with each other.
It's very dramatic. It's a spectacle.
Yeah.
So I guess I can see that. All right. Up next, Hitman.
Yeah. I know nothing.
That's Hitman.
This is the reboot, the one that's episodic, right? Right, Bobby?
Yeah.
Hitman's never really...
I haven't heard good things about this game.
Okay. So all three of us a no?
Yeah, that's a no for right now. I mean, I still got to go back and finish Hitman Absolution. So.
Which you were enjoying.
Yeah. No, I'm liking it.
Cool.
Okay.
I can't pronounce this one, so...
I think it's called Alekhine's Gun.
Okay.
It's a World War... Two stealth game, third person stealth game.
Okay.
I think it's $30.
Single player?
It's single player. Looks like it's story based, but it's. I think it's kind of similar to Hitman, where you're going around trying to kill Nazis and stuff in their base or in their like houses and stuff like that.
Well, it's stealth, so you know I'm out.
Yeah, and the graphics look all right. I think it's a $30 product, so it's kind of like a mid range.
Right.
Kind of a small developer.
Single A.
Yeah, single A sort of thing. So, I've seen a little bit of buzz on it, but nothing like really outstanding. So, I'm probably going to
Oh, you're like
it.
A Hitman, though.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking it was on the battlefield.
No. This is like you're going around in houses and stuff like that.
Okay.
You got audio on, watch out.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. At first glance, I'm not immediately sold on this game, but maybe after some reviews come in.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last one is Need for Speed. My understanding is this is Need for Speed reboot. They're basically saying they have too many numbers and things after Need for Speed. So this is going to just be a restart of the Need for Speed franchise. I've never been into Need for Speed. Racing has never been really my forte. So, I kind of dug the Burnout series, where...
Burnout was fun.
And you know what other series I really liked?
Gran Turismo. I really got into Gran
Turismo.
Did
you guys like...
1 and 2.
The Stuntman's games? Those kids were... Those games are fucking awesome.
Oh, there's only one, right?
No, there's two.
Stuntman 2. I don't know which one I played, but yeah, oh yeah, they're fucking awesome, dude.
See,
yeah.
For me, there's
fun.
Always got... When it comes to racing games, there's always got to be a gimmick. It can't just be racing. Like, I kind of admire some of these games like Need for Speed, Burnout Paradise, that go for realism, and they got the cars that you could actually buy in real life. But, you know, for me, my favorite racing games are always Road Rash, Mario Kart, you know, the ones that are... there's more to it than
arcade.
Just racing.
Yeah.
Not even arcadey, but it's just like...
But...
There's a combat element to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. None of us are real gearheads either. So, like, if you know, like a Gran Turismo or a Forza or a Project Cars, those are all looking at realism. It makes you want to, it's trying to imitate you actually driving those cars that you see on the hundreds of thousands of dollars cars, you know?
Yeah.
And none of us are really, we don't watch NASCAR, we don't watch Formula One, you know, so none of these games really appealed to us. But
I'm glad that I got as deep into Gran Turismo as I did because...
Back in the day, though, right?
Yeah.
Like GT3 or something?
Yeah. Even 4? To this day, like, I know how to take corners. And that would have just been a mystery to me. I mean, I'm not a professional. But I know what the general idea is now.
Yeah.
And, like, at the time, I was like, wow, I kind of know how to take a track if I was ever on one.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that. I don't know if I would... Does Gran Turismo game itself come out for PC, right?
No, it's first party PlayStation.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
They
can make more money. I mean, it's just one of those things.
It's first party, meaning
no, I get
Sony
it.
Owns them. So.
No, I get it. But didn't Sony make a game for Steam recently?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe there's hope someday.
Beautiful
games.
Yeah. But Forza's pretty good, too. That's Yeah, and then Microsoft, but they come out on PC.
But right? I feel like those aren't production cars. They're more like racing cars, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't played any of those series.
So it sounds like out of the entire list, you're the only one that we're even coming close to being interested.
I had to unpack for those games because there wasn't a whole lot this week coming out. So
yeah.
This might be a slow week.
All right,
but we have so much to play anyway.
Yeah, play some of your old games, which I'm sure you've been playing. So.
There's plenty of those. So let's talk about games that we have played. Black Desert Online recently came out, right? Or is this some sort of beta?
Nope, it came out officially March 3rd. It's an MMO, third person MMO, fantasy based, but it's not subscription based. But it is pay to play. Yeah, similar to Guild Wars, where you purchase it once and then you can play it.
So one time fee and you're in.
Yeah, one time fee, and so they've got two different price points. They've got a $30 and a $50 one. The $30, which I bought. Gives you 1 7-day pass, so I gave the 7-day pass to Emilio. So the two of us were
thanks, I guess.
So the two of us were playing. There's been a lot of buzz on this game, and I think it's mainly because of the graphics, the character creation. Like even if you're looking at the images that we're looking at right here, it's all looking at the character models and everything. Like the character creation is very deep, but that doesn't. I would
constitute a good game.
Yeah, I'd rather have a WoW game where you only get 10 character models, but the actual game is really good.
Right.
This game
and the graphics in the game, the environment and the character, the enemies or whatever, are nice, but they are not to the level of the characters. Not even close.
Yeah, they're
like,
not.
The character models are stunning, and then you get into the game and it's not stunning. It's good, but it's not stunning.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking Chad even today, like if in the Asian countries where this comes from, that if they use the same resolutions we do, because it looks like a lot of effort went into these graphics, but somehow it just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
It just looks a little tinge off. I don't know what it is.
It's got that it like kind of animation kind of or anime kind of tint to it, you know what I mean? It's not going for photorealistic. It's going.
You're talking about a color tint? Or?
No, like just the way the graphics look is
not sharp. I guess I don't know what it is. It's hard to put our fingers on it, but it's not. It doesn't seem right. The characters look perfect. You could take a character from here and put it right into Tomb Raider, and she wouldn't look out of place. Like that's how good your character model is. But everything else just seems bland compared to that. Maybe that's what it is. Your character's so modeled so beautifully, and then everything else isn't to that level. So it almost looks like it was like.
But the graphics to me are just, you know, whatever. That's not the reason that I didn't like this game.
Yeah.
The gameplay was very. It's an action based game. There's no tab targeting or anything like that. You're moving around, you're pushing your buttons, whatever you're hitting. Whatever hits in your hitbox is what you hit. But I don't know. The combat never drew me in. I played a berserker who was like a guy that had two axes and was swinging them around, and it was fun, but it wasn't like really drawing me in. It was the same three combos again and again and again. So I ended up just doing the same moves every time. It was kind of interesting where you don't seem to regenerate health, but they give you just a ton of health potions. So you're like using health potions kind of just all the time. At least I was.
So I played a summoner, and I didn't summon a fucking thing the entire game. I threw karate kicks, and I kind of felt like you're playing, I don't know, there's a whole combo system, and it looks very, very in-depth, but to me, it just seemed very arbitrary. It didn't matter if I did my 1-2-1 or my 1-3-6-5, or like they were suggesting. It didn't seem to be doing more damage. Maybe you build up a combo meter. But, so, just to put this in perspective, if you're thinking about picking this up, we can wrap this up pretty quickly. Chad and I were playing it today just to make sure we fleshed the whole thing out. And at some point, he's like, are you done? And I was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm not
like
having fun.
I wanted to get into an MMO, but this isn't the one for me.
I mean, I hate to harp on Asian port games again, but that this is exactly what I'm talking about. It was, the translations were perfect, and it was just weird. Weird, not in a weird way where, like, the, there's American things that are super weird, but they're weird in an American way.
Yeah.
This is maybe weird in a Asian, or was it Korean way?
Yeah, I think it's Korean. But I think this is exactly the game that they like. So they made the game for them.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And it's also been really popular in Russia, so it's not just Asian cultures that are...
Interesting.
Like, Russia is done really well.
Oh, Russia is in Asia, right?
That's true. That is true.
Boom!
This game is one of those games that just needs more tutorials. Like, I got in through the tutorials and got out of it. And then it's like, I got walked up to this one vendor. He's like, do you want a flute? You can rent it or buy it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me try this flute. And so the flute replaced my main weapon. And then it says, press left click to use your flute. So I'm pressing it. And I'm doing this little mini game. And I'm supposed to be, like, capturing rats. But I don't know where to go with these. It doesn't give me any instructions at all. Like, why am I catching rats? Is there any point to this? It's not a quest. What's going on here?
Maybe,
like, what
we're
the
just,
fuck is going on here?
Maybe we're just not as smart as they are.
Or maybe it's one of these games, like, after you put your 40 hours in, you're finally getting a grasp on how this game works, and suddenly it opens up and everything's awesome, and, like, you're understanding everything, and suddenly the whole world makes sense.
But we're not worth it. We're not.
But
willing,
I'm not going to put 40
yeah.
hours in to do that to a game. There's just not.
Because I wasn't going to touch it again after my first hour, and I asked Chad, do my second, third, and fourth hours get better? And he's like, oh, no, not really.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not like I only played this for an hour. I got to level 14, 15, something like that. You know, I was playing this.
I couldn't even tell when I was leveling.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
I was like, holy shit, I'm level 7? Because you said you're 14. I was like, oh, I must be 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And I was 7. I was like, so, I don't know. Just too weird and not that fun.
But if you guys, if one of our listeners says this is a great game, let me know. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. You know, I bought the game, obviously, so I could play it some more. But I'm not seeing anywhere where this is fun. It's supposed to have, like, it's kind of cool in that you can climb stuff a little bit. It's got kind of more parkour elements to it, which is interesting because I'm used to an MMO where everything's flat plane, sort of, and you're trying to, like, figure out how to, you know, like, so it was interesting, like, you climb things, and they were doing good animations and stuff like that.
I gotta,
so there was...
One thing I gotta give it is... I love that the quest giver is kind of like in your pocket. He's a little demon that runs you around.
Some of the quests, not all the quests come
in
your pocket.
But, you know, you finish quest, he just pops out and gives you another quest, and you can just go from there. And so you don't have to keep going back to town.
Yeah, and
it's
usually
a lot
gives,
better.
He usually gives quest chains, where it's like six quests, and you're on quest 3 of the chain, and all the quests are in that same area. It's like kill the goblins, and kill the shamans, and kill the knights, and kill the, you know, so... It was that part was definitely cool, and honestly, you can do everything in this game, and we barely touched the surface. Like, there's housing, there's a whole bunch of housing, taming, like horses. You know, you can get horses, but only you can get up to level 3. You can buy, and after level 3 of horses, you have to, like, actually tame them and breed them to get higher level horses.
And in general, I gotta give that caveat for our entire podcast, basically. When Chad and I are touching on a game, a lot of time that's exactly what it is. It's just a touch, it's first impressions, because we generally don't go into a second week of playing games, and that's, we got to keep on top of the ball if we're going to keep this podcast rolling. So we're giving us first impressions. There might be it might get a lot deeper. There might be a rabbit hole. It just didn't happen to click for us in the first 3 hours or so.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if any MMO would. I mean, look at those games.
I'm sorry, but. I played WoW.
Dad, you tried to talk, Bobby, but he's got something to say.
I hear what you're saying, but I completely disagree with you.
We need an applause.
Yeah.
That's what we need. There we go. See, I didn't get the laughs.
I told Sam to sit in. That's the only sound she can make is laugh at my jokes. She laughed at Bobby's first.
But
I know.
WoW is different, though, because that was a time and a place where this was something new and fresh, and we all got hooked on that for whatever reason. But ever since then, it's like we've been trying to find this fix in other games, and it just never seems to come through. You know, we go into these MMOs, and we're like, well, if it doesn't hook me in the first 3 hours, and yet we spent hundreds upon hundreds of hours in WoW, and those first couple hours of an MMO are not a good representation of the overall experience of the game. And I don't know. I feel like, I know me personally, like I'm kind of past MMOs at this point. I don't see myself ever really getting hooked on one. So I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe you guys are too, and you just don't realize it yet.
I love Cities of Heroes right away.
Well, that's Cities of Heroes. That's like 10 years old. But Guild Wars 2 I had fun in. Blade and Soul, I didn't think was a bad game. What else? Skyforge, I actually didn't hate. Like,
I hate that one.
I mean, I've played MMOs recently and had a lot more fun with other MMOs recently, and much more immediate fun with a lot of other MMOs. Like, this is, and maybe I was hyped on this game because there was a lot of, like, Twitch streamers were streaming this, and there was a lot of buzz behind it. Mm-hmm. So maybe, but I knew it was very grindy. They had said right from the bat, this is a very grindy game. So maybe I should have expected this.
Yeah.
But it was more of the confusion. It doesn't, like, ramp up. It just throws you in there, and it doesn't give you any direction at all.
Did you ever get close to dying?
Once or twice.
Oh, you got further than I did.
Yeah. It would be like if they just dropped you in the real world at 22 and said, go, do this.
You
this is real life. Go, do this.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? I don't even know how to drive yet.
I mean, what is it that hooks you about an MMO? I mean, what do they have to do that will grab you right away so you continue playing that? I mean, when I played World of Warcraft, I remember one of the first things that happened to me that I was like, wow, this is really cool. I want to invest more time in this. Was I started out as a human, and you start out in what, Elwynn Forest or something?
Yeah,
pretty standard forest, pretty standard setting for a fantasy game. And then I went to Westfall, and I'm like, whoa, this is a whole new area. Like, it's kind of got that fall, like wheat and chaff kind of look to it. And then somehow I was too underleveled, but I stumbled into Duskwood, which is dark and scary and spiders. And as soon as I went there, I'm like, oh, it's fucking Halloween Town. Like just the different areas. And then I looked at the map and I realized this is like the biggest world I've ever seen in a video game. And that alone was just like, I want to explore. I want to see all these new fascinating places. There was a long time ago in Duskwood, there's this huge crater and there's this giant dragon in there. And somehow I climbed up. I must have spent half an hour doing this, but I climbed up this wall just hopping from rock to rock. I peeked over and I saw this dragon. I'm like, that thing's fucking huge. Like, the game just had this scale. And if I ran into that again nowadays, it wouldn't be that amazing.
It's commonplace.
Yeah, it's so common. So I don't know.
Well,
what does an MMO have to do these days to hook you?
Well, if you start simple and work up in difficulty and how complex it is. Complexity and difficulty should ramp up together. You should start off real easy. Just go up to these rats and kill these rats until you kill fucking wolves. And then go on and so on and so on. This game, there's so much information flying at you from all the. There was a disconnect between the amount of information that I had and how simplistic what I was doing was.
Yeah.
I was basically playing a clicking game.
Yeah.
With thousands of little numbers and buttons around.
Yeah.
Basically.
And my whole thing with MMOs, the reason I like them is because it feels like a single player game. But wait, I can interact with this guy. And it's not just a chat. It's not, I'm walking up and seeing this guy. You know, so like, I like the idea, the concept of playing an RPG, but yet I'm a part of this world that exists and goes on and continues.
Oh, and I gotta say, I think this, we all fall under this, is back in WoW and back in EverQuest, I was a lot more friendly and like, or I feel like I was for other characters. We would make groups and stuff. And now I kind of just play it as a single player game. And did that come with age, or what is that?
I think it's just the ease of the game. Back then in EverQuest and
you
WoW,
had to get together.
You had to. And they didn't set up dungeon finders and group finders and all these other things
right.
that are now commonplace. You had to work to get a group, but you needed a group to advance. So,
yeah.
It's
funny, Bobby just named all these places in WoW. Never known them because I didn't play the pussy side.
You never did play Alliance, did you?
Never once.
I ended up playing everything and everything.
Depends on what server you were on, which one was better. I played both. I played Horde and Alliance.
I was hardcore Horde for a long time. All right, tell us about Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley is a game that I'm going to attempt to explain, but I will forewarn everyone. If you want to hear a good explanation, and a lot of things I will
don't
repeat.
Listen to us.
Yeah, check out the last PC Gamer episode. Tom Marks did a really good job explaining the game and really summing up its strengths and also its weaknesses.
Did you just send everybody to another podcast?
Yeah,
turn it off right now, everybody. Turn it off right now.
No, don't do that.
We're terrible.
We
see
are.
See these other guys who know what's going on.
Well, I assume they already listened.
You just
to
don't
that.
Want to rehash everything he
yeah,
said.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of stuff that I have to say about the game is exactly what he
well,
said.
Well, I don't listen to PC Gamers, so tell
okay.
me.
Well, I'm going
to
offer my own perspective
yeah, you
as well. It's a really good game. I like it a lot. It as soon as I heard about it, I heard him talking about it, it piqued my interest. I kind of had a feeling that I would like that game. It's funny how you can tell almost immediately after hearing or sometimes even seeing a game whether or not you're going to like it. But it's a game where you farm and you, I don't know. It's not like, it's a very casual game. I almost want to compare it to, like, Farmville, but without the clickbait, like that really nasty, kind of ugly type of gaming. What do they call that? You know, Farmville, the other ones. I don't play those.
Yeah. Mafia Wars.
Yeah, Mafia Wars, all that shit. Yeah. It almost felt like that, because there's not really a point to this game. You play it at your own pace. And you know when you play games like, what was the one that you and I played, Chad, where you have your own gaming company where you create games?
Game Dev Tycoon.
Yeah, Game Dev Tycoon. There's kind of that financial strain, so you're always like worried about running out of money, and it's almost like you keep progressing because there's something coming after you and catching up to you. This game doesn't have any of that. You can totally take it at your own pace, which is great because it complements Heroes of the Storm perfectly. You know, a game that is very competitive. I can just have Stardew Valley going in another window, and between rounds, I kind of tend to my garden and I do my thing in town, and I kind of go about it. So it works very well in tandem with that game, which I think is one of the reasons why I like it so much.
Okay.
But so you play this guy who inherits a farm from his grandfather, and you know you have to plant stuff. Farm.
Sell that shit.
You can go into what sell the farm?
Yeah, coke and strippers.
Well, actually, it's really interesting because the story does kind of have a narrative. And your grandfather's dying, and he gives you a letter. He says, "Don't open this until you're like you're at your lowest point. You can't take it anymore." And so the game starts out with you in a cubicle working, and obviously you start getting stressed out. And your character starts shaking. Very low graphics in this game, by the way.
It's like,
but it's fun.
More than 8-bit, though, right? It's kind of like 16.
Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
So you get stressed out. You open the letter. He says, "Hey, here's my farm, you know, and it really saved me." And so it's kind of got this hippie, like, peaceful nature kind of vibe to it, which really goes well with the game because that's kind of just how the game feels. It's a very relaxing game. And it's not really just relaxing in the sense of these other games where it's just like the clicking games where you're just clicking, clicking, clicking. It's not feeding off of anything. In addition to the farm, you can go in town, you can meet people, you can develop relationships, you can mine, you can do all these other
How
things.
How can you fail, Bob? You say there's no like fear, no stress.
Yeah, you really can't fail. The game goes in intervals of days, so it's really got that thing that Tom Marks was talking about, where it's got that Civ 5 feel to it, where it's like, you just want to go one more day and do a bunch of stuff. It's just that one more turn mentality. So at the end of every day, you go to sleep, and then anything that you sell, you get money for, and you know you earn money, but really, I don't know how you could fail at this game. I mean, if you let all your crops die, if you got rid of all your money somehow, like, I don't know how you do it, then it would go away. So the obvious question is, why is it fun then? You know, usually there's got to be some factor.
Are you striving for efficiency?
You're trying to get better and better. And I've watched some Twitch streams, and there's some people that are just like, whoa. Like, they got every building. They've got a wife. They've got kids.
They own the town.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there is a narrative.
Two side chicks.
There's a narrative that goes along. And you can marry dudes in that one, too, apparently. Which, I was reading a Q&A, and it was funny, someone was like, you know, this is against my religion, can I turn this feature off in the game? And this game is developed by one guy, and he's really good about answering people's questions and putting out patches. And his answer was, you have to actively pursue someone to be in a relationship with them, so just don't do that. So it's like, if you don't want to date a dude, don't date a dude.
That's like Mass Effect too, right?
Yeah.
Every time you ground down.
Not necessarily, dude, because what's his name? Co-pilot.
Bobby's explaining how he fucked a dude in Mass Effect.
No. No,
I knew right away. He was like, no, that is a really good mission.
Why are you taking your pants off, Steve?
No, but my point is, in Stardew Valley, you have to actually pursue a guy.
Gotcha.
But in Mass Effect, the guy will hit on you, and you have to turn him down.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's a little different there.
But I thought you were saying that you were implying that he didn't see the other guy's advances.
Just didn't even pick up on it.
Yeah.
Suddenly he's blowing a dude in the back of the, what's the Andromeda?
No pants dance in my room? That sounds like fun.
Okay.
No, I actually, I went after the one girl who was a lesbian, and she turned me down. And
a
that
Jack,
was
right?
Me.
Is that Jack?
No, it's your, like, secretary on the ship.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
This is a Mass Effect.
I banged her.
Mass Effect 2?
No,
yeah.
We've had this conversation before, and I went through the effort of proving to you that you can't sleep with her. It's the one with the black hair?
Yeah, the one at the console all the time.
Yeah.
When you walk up to the thing, I'm pretty sure.
Were you a chick in Mass Effect 2?
No.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. No, it had to be someone else.
For sure, bang the reporter. Everybody bang the reporter, right?
Yeah, well,
she's the only one that you can sleep with and still be in a relationship with someone else. Yeah. And then when I found that out,
professional side piece.
I've told the story.
She'll do
before.
Anything to get a story.
We've had a lot of Mass Effect 2 conversation on this, so I'm sorry if this is a repeat, but it's probably been a year. But I found that out like way after the fact, and then I went back to her and tried to make that happen, but it was too late. So
only Bobby is shot down by the floozy.
Well, I didn't even realize that you could sleep with people in that game until way after the fact.
That was the whole reason I bought the game.
Yeah.
Apparently
that's a big part of it.
All right. But, back to Stardew.
Yeah, Stardew Valley. Really enjoying that. What I didn't realize is, because I have this huge resolution on my monitor now, I'm like running multiple windows in all sorts of places. And I was keeping this game kind of in its own little box on the side while I'm doing other things. I realized if I maximized it, it doesn't really maximize the screen. Like, when I maximize, what's another game, Undertale that I've been playing, when I maximize that full screen, it just stretches everything out. When I maximize or full screen Stardew Valley, it actually lets me see more of the map, like a lot more, especially on a 2560 by 1440 resolution. Like, I can see everything. So that was a helpful little hint that I didn't realize right away. There's a lot of little problems with this game, though, particularly with the controls, and I think those will get worked out in time, but some things are very annoying, and a few other things that are just really not intuitive that you just take for granted when you play other games. You know, when you sell something, there's usually some sort of buyback option. A lot of times, maybe I'm wrong on this and someone can correct me, but when I sell stuff to the store, like, or when I buy stuff from the store, as soon as I click it, because a lot of times I'm just like, I got 1,700 gold, how many parsnip seeds can I get for that? You know, so I select all of them to see how many.
As one does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you
when
do.
I have my
if I had a nickel for every time I considered how many parsnips I can get.
Yeah. You know, you want to know how many parsnip seeds you can get for 1,700 gold. So I shift click that shit until it's maximum. And apparently there's no refunds. You know, once you click, you know.
So, Bobby's explaining how he lost all his money on parsnip seeds.
Yeah. I blew it all on parsnip seeds. But hey.
Not coconut. Because
come spring, that shit's going to pay off.
Big time. Parsnips fucking everywhere.
That's why they call him Parsnip Bobby.
Parsnips. Bobby Parsnips Digital. All right, question for you, though. Is there actually a goal? Can you beat the game?
Yeah, I think you can, because as I've watched other people's streams, I've noticed they are seeing parts of a story unlock, and not unlock in the traditional sense, but like if you do something, then all of a sudden this character comes in and says something. And it seems like the overarching story in this is there's this company that you used to work at in the beginning of the game called Jojamart, and they're like this evil big business. Basically Walmart, and they're trying to buy out the town. They're trying to run all the small business out of town, and I think putting them out of business is kind of like the end game here. But you get to that by getting better in different areas and basically improving your farm. And it's kind of like garrisons in WoW, you know, that kind of appeal, where you're just trying to build up your own personal mansion here. So it is really enjoyable.
Does it have quests that or anything?
Yeah, it actually does have a quest system.
Okay.
And you can get those quests just randomly, or it gives you a few at the beginning. And, it, you know, it's basic shit. You know, occasionally it's something that has to do with someone else in town. They're like, hey, I really need a cauliflower. So if you grow or get a cauliflower,
Bobby's like, damn it, I have parsnips.
Yeah. Cauliflowers, I mean, that's a long game, though. You're looking at like 12 days on a to grow a cauliflower, but the money is good.
Is it livestock?
Yeah, there is livestock. You can milk cows. I think you can butcher cows. I haven't gotten that far yet. That's later in the game. I did find, Tom Marks did mention an article they had, Six Things I Wish I Knew Before I Started Playing Stardew Valley, and I did read that before, and it was very helpful. So I definitely recommend checking that out if you want to get into this game. It is strangely addicting. I don't know, I don't know if you guys would enjoy it as much.
No,
it doesn't sound like it.
Is there at any point a dragon that burns down your crops that you have to hunt down?
I don't think so.
Rally the troops? None of that.
No.
But you can fuck a dude named Steve.
It's, you know, it's funny because they give you all these love interest options, and it's totally playing to people's different personalities. They've got this blonde, really girly girl who's into pink stuff. They've got this kind of dark, brooding girl with black hair who's a little morose, you know. So it, there's definitely...
Got one right here.
I went through that same thing with Honey Pop.
And
I'll tell you. Yep, they had the full range, the full spectrum.
I think...
No Steve, though. I'm not with you. Sorry, Bob.
But it's a good game, but it's one of those games I almost feel like it'd be better on a phone because it's a great thing to pull out and... It's a great...
That's the one that got you. Wow. Wow. This is one... This whole show is one long sexual innuendo, and then he makes himself laugh.
Okay. But it's a great thing to pick up for a little bit. Playing a day in this game is probably... It can be as short as you want, but it's probably around 10, 15 minutes.
Okay.
So that's kind of your interval of play.
Little side note on Stardew Valley. Yeah, for a few times this week, it actually hit number 3 on the list of Steam on current users playing the game.
People love this game.
And number 3 is impressive because you ain't beating Dota 2 and you ain't beating Counter-Strike.
Yeah,
so
3 is, you might as well be the top.
Yeah, you might as well be the top if you're at 3.
And
so,
like, I had a realization while playing this game. I feel like this game is going to be the next Undertale. Like, kind of just that game that comes out of nowhere. It's made by one person. It's kind of one person's vision, and it's for some reason everyone just connects with it.
Second side note on this.
Highly recommended from Bobby. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
To wrap it up.
Second side note on this is the Stardew Valley Reddit. Subreddit is wildly popular right now. But one of the things on there, people are, since it is made by one person, people are kind of like, that people that love this game are kind of trying to prevent pirating from this.
Okay.
So they've had several threads on people giving this game away, buying the game to give to people that can't get it or are pirating instead of using it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can get on the subreddit and actually get a game at this point, but it is one of the things
cool.
That you
can get. Really cool.
It is being sold for $14.99, which Undertale is $9.99. $14.99 starts to get into that higher price bracket, I feel, especially for a game of this. But this is a game, I barely made it out of spring, and I've got, I don't know, 7 hours in this game. Like, it's a long game. Like, it takes a while, but it's not really the game that you play where you feel like it's dragging on. You know, we talked about Devil Daggers. You know, people say 8 minutes of that game feels like an eternity, but this is the kind of game where just time flies right by, and it's a great thing to play, like I said, in tandem with another game.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of streamers, like, having this in the background, so once they finish a round or whatever of League of Legends or whatever, they switch to this and play it up.
All right, let's move on, because I'm getting drunk. Binding of Isaac, I've been playing a lot of course. It's kind of...
Binding of Isaac, what game
actually,
is this?
I had already gone through my treatment. I was through AA. I was free and clear. And Sam fucking pulled me back in. It's been all the time. That's all she ever wants to play. So, but then now I'm fucking hooked. And so I made it my mission to beat Super Satan again. It took it longer than I thought it would. And then I thought I was done with the game. But no, of course, there's so much more. Just a quick tip. For those who play, if you play greed mode, play with Lilith because she gets ridiculously strong even without good items in
Green Bug, because as every wave that comes in, it builds up your meter, and every time you activate your ability, you basically double your shots. Anyway, I talked to a Flying Hawaiian, he didn't know about this, and he plays a lot. And
listener of ours.
Yeah, and I just found out by chance, and I don't look into things, I don't look things up a lot of times. It probably saved me a lot of time, but anyway, having a great time with this. You haven't picked this up. It's amazing.
I got another pro tip that you've said for Binding of Isaac.
Oh, you can have more than one.
What's the app that you have that...
Oh, I have to look that up. Go into the next thing.
Okay. He has an app that has, like, all the items. Because there's so many items in this game now, you just can't remember everything. So...
Binding of Isaac item guide on iOS. And it's just really good.
So you can have your phone there. If you come up with an item you don't know what it is, you can just bring it up real quick.
It's like 500 items. It's a lot to remember.
Mm.
What?
And I found out today that you can have two babies.
Yeah, you can have two. You can play three-player co-op, maybe four-player co-op. We realized. Sam figured this out. I didn't. I thought we tried it before and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So
you guys tried to have a second baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks like somebody can be on the keyboard and you can have two people on controllers. Although I don't know how much that's going to benefit you, since you're trying to dodge things and now there's three things that need to dodge. But it's all circumstantial.
But it's about having fun with three players, not necessarily.
It's about fucking killing eggs over and over and over.
All right. So FigSec recommended some mobile games on our Steam group. I think it was what do you want us to play thread. Yeah. So if you guys want us to play anything, throw it up on the thread on our Steam group. And
were all these games free, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, it's mobile. Everything's free with microtransactions. So the first game that
I think FigSec's a little frugal.
He is.
One might say.
He is, but as he explained, he is not cheap, he's just frugal. But anyways, so Magic Puzzle Quest was the first one he suggested. I really wanted to like this game because I like Magic.
Yeah.
This is based on Magic the Gathering IP, and I did not like this game at all.
Yeah, I gave this game maybe 10 minutes back in the day.
I think, the Puzzle Quest series, I think, is a thing, and then they just put a bunch of different IPs on the Puzzle Quest IP on the Puzzle Quest game.
Yeah.
The problem is Puzzle Quest isn't that fun of a game. It's a simple match three, and you're taking turns back and forth doing this match three game. But here's my problem.
There's no chicks you can bang for matching three.
That's exactly it. No, the game's got to be fun. There's a bunch of ways that I don't like mobile games, but the most important one is you got to have a game that's fun, first of all. That's why I kind of like Galaxy of Heroes. Because you have to make choices and decide what to do. And I feel like a lot of mobile games, it's just like you do auto moves. Like, in this game, if you don't do a move in a couple seconds, it'll suggest a move for you. That suggested move is almost always the right move.
Yeah.
So you just, you don't even have to play the game. You just do the move.
I hate those suggested moves. Every single...
Well, in Bejeweled, they only give you a few of those.
No, not this game. This every time...
Most games now... any kind of match game or puzzle game, they'll tell you what the next move is if you wait long enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there a penalty for waiting?
No, absolutely not.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It just keeps you swiping so that you'll pay money eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So the other game this is by far not a recommended, is Magic Puzzle Quest. The other game he recommended was Mini Warriors. This suffered from the same problem that I feel like Magic did. You make these armies and then these armies fight against each other. But when the armies fight, I was basically just sitting here watching these two armies fight. I didn't feel like I had to do anything. It just was playing itself, basically.
So and then it's a strategy game.
The tutorial was saying, okay, click here. I felt like a monkey. I was clicking a button to go to the next thing to do. And then they would fight automatically and win, and I didn't have to do anything. So it was just stupid.
All right.
And finally, the last one I played was Deck Heroes Legacy, because it had a really high rating, and I wanted to... It was supposed to be a CCG-style collectible card game.
Okay.
And so I was excited. And this game was basically the same thing. I didn't have to do anything. It would make suggestions, I would do it.
You sure you just weren't going through the tutorial phase?
I played all of these games for over 2 hours at least.
Wow.
And so keep suggesting games and we'll shit all over them.
And Figsack, jump in here. Let me know what I'm doing wrong with these games.
You're entitled to your opinion. So these are all mobile games.
These are all mobile games.
Okay.
And I'm really loving Galaxy of Heroes. I'm still playing that game hardcore. I got three guys to max level. I'm having fun with it. The only downside of that game is sometimes you kind of run out of things to do and you kind of just got to put it away.
Yeah, but that's after two hours.
Yeah, probably.
Per day.
Yeah. So, but these other games, I felt like there was no skill involved.
Man, I need a desk job.
Seriously, you do. But, yeah, I'll keep playing these mobile games and you guys will keep ignoring them, but that's cool.
Cool. Divinity, what are you thinking of our run, Chad? They all know my opinion on this game. What are you thinking?
So, I'm getting back into Divinity with Amino. Amino and I are doing a run through. We've talked about Divinity a million times, so I won't say a whole lot.
But you haven't said your opinion.
I'm liking it. The only thing I don't like about it sometimes is it's so easy to save and download. And save and reload, which I love, but at the same time, you can kind of just play recklessly because you can just save and reload if you're not like it, as long as you're saving enough. And Emilio apparently can't remember where his phone is or where his keys are, but somehow is a savant when it comes to saving the game. Like every 30 seconds, he's telling me to save this game. And it's a miracle. I don't even know. I don't understand how this is working for you. Yeah, but how do you remember this?
Because I run the game for me and Bobby and I, and you just got to save a lot, man. You got to save every time before you talk to somebody. And I see what you're saying. You're kind of cheating your way through the game.
Mm-hmm.
But how much more time are you saving from...
No, I'm not saying... I'm giving this a 95 instead of 100 is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's kind of the only downside.
It's an amazing game.
Yeah.
And it's funny because this is one of these games where Sam watches me play and she's like, what is so good about this? But
yeah.
I think this is something that just appeals to hardcore gamers, hardcore RPGs.
What I'm saying is, you don't remember anything.
No, I get it.
You literally can't remember your name sometimes.
Huh?
And you somehow remember to say it every 30 seconds.
And I just wanted to throw a shout out to Rocket League. I got into it pretty heavily this week. I wouldn't say we all agree that it's a great game. We almost gave it Game of the Year. But... this game literally makes me happy while I play it. I have a smile a lot of the times. This game is so fucking good.
It's funny because
it's just so good.
It's a sport. It's a sport, and you don't like sport games.
It's a silly sport.
It is a silly sport.
Silly things.
It is a silly sport.
I'm not... I'm okay. So you don't get ranked until you play your first 10 games. I wanted to do that in one day. I won maybe 8 of the 10 games. I don't know how that affected my ranking. But I feel I like that I'm ranked now.
What are you ranked?
Something two stripes on something. I don't know.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
But
glad you did your research.
I'm glad that I'm ranked now. For some reason, it seemed really important. I'm not. I can't do aerials. I'm playing against people who can do aerials now. And that's when you can basically your car is a rocket. If you have enough fuel, you can tilt it in the right way and basically fly. So you can do a Superman save or a Superman goal or something like that. It's kind of like thinking about spiking a ball in volleyball. It's something like that you can do if you can get aerials down. But I'm pretty good at positioning and not missing the ball these days and knowing when to hit the ball. So that's gotten me to this point wherever I'm at. I would say I'm okay for a beginner, and I really like where I'm at. And I also want to mention that I had two friends come over that don't really play games anymore, and you know, just like all my older friends, everybody played video games growing up, and they kind of got away from it. If they come over, there's two games that I show them. It's either Broforce or Rocket League. Rocket League seems to be the one that they gravitate to.
So, regarding Broforce, I had a buddy at work that booted up on a console, and. Yeah.
Is it a console game?
Yeah. He said there's Versus on console. I saw him play
Versus. Yeah, there's Versus.
Why haven't we even played Versus? I didn't even know there was Versus on Broforce.
So he beat you at every game we play?
Oh, okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Except for
Street Fighter V?
No. Atlas Reactor. All right, let's keep moving.
Fair enough.
All right, so we're going to do a little new segment.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
All right, so I'm excited about this. So here's the premise. We get a lot of we occasionally get some software from people. You know, we're in the media. So we got this piece of software, and it's pretty cool. So it'll listen to the audio, and it'll
extrapolate
from inflection and everything like that, whether or not a person is telling the truth. And if a person's lying, it will actually say what they were meaning to say. And we pride ourselves on telling the truth, right? Like,
all the time.
So I expected when I put our podcast through this, it would just sound the same as the normal podcast. And it was true for most of the thing, but there was occasionally a couple things that weren't true. So we're calling this segment What We Meant to Say. And so I'm going to play a clip of what was actually said in the podcast last week, and then we're going to listen to what this piece of software said that we actually meant to say. So the first one is going to be Bobby. So Bobby last week talked about this VR this VR program that would record it would track how well your system is for VR support. So we're going to play VR Bobby's what he said first. So go ahead, Bobby.
Okay. I believe it gives you an actual number. It gives you a meter, says not good, good, very good. But I think the number that I got was 10.8, so I'm on the very good scale.
All right, so that's what Bobby played.
Said.
That's what he said. He got a 10.8.
What he actually meant.
Yeah, and this is what he actually meant.
I didn't give a shit about this program. All I wanted to do is prove my penis is bigger than yours. And once again, it is. If it was real, Danny D would look at me now. Oh, you don't know who Danny D is? I guess I watch more porn than you do. Anyways, he has a really big dig. But mine would be bigger. I'm only pretending to not remember what number I got. It is 10.8. 10.8, bitches. Suck on my big, fat virtual chode.
Alright, Bobby.
Alright, aggressive.
Yeah,
Bobby.
He was angry.
Seriously, I didn't know I had that inside me.
Yeah, so, alright, so you knew exactly what. Alright, next up was Amino. So Amino played a game last week, Sonic All-Stars Transformed.
Yeah.
So he was talking a little bit about that game. He mentioned that he was playing with Sam, so play the clip on what he actually said, Bobby.
You know, everybody looks small when you're on the top.
Yeah.
So I really never could tell. Because I had to put it down on low for her to, like, you know.
Okay. So that's what he said.
Way to call me out.
He's on top. Sam was bringing him down. He had to bring it on low. So here's what he actually meant to say.
It might sound like I'm happy, but I am crying on the inside. I'm weeping tears of defeat as this game kept beating me. I even set it on easy and still couldn't beat the tutorial. On top of that, my girl kept beating me too. I was in the middle of their Eiffel Tower. I was their Chinese finger cuffs. I haven't been that full of meat since Thanksgiving of 92. Thank goodness I wasn't streaming, or I would be the laughing stock of Twitch.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't know you did that bad.
Yeah. I don't remember going
that is unfortunate.
Wow. It's a good thing you didn't share that, and I'm all embarrassed that we had to find out this way.
And Chad, I don't think that it's fair that you get to program this program.
No, this
on
is,
your own.
I
seems a little biased. Well,
yeah,
I don't know. Let's wait.
Let's
see your chance.
Let's see how he deals with
this. This is not anything that I've done. This we ran it straight through the program, and this is what came out.
Okay.
So this is the last one. This was me. So I played this game, Honey Pop, last week. Honey Pop was a very adult focused game, and so. I think this clip...
Play the clip.
No, this clip happens right after Emilio asked me, did I whack off to this game?
Yeah.
All right, so play the clip, Bobby.
Did you beat off to this game, Jeff?
No. It's not... And plus, it's the Steam version doesn't have, like, full nudity.
Got some stuttering going on
there.
Yeah. Definitely, you're thinking...
I was thinking it through it. Okay, so here's what I actually meant. Go ahead, Bobby.
Did I beat off to it? You were goddamn right I did. I'm so into anime I sleep with a Sword Art Online body pillow. Wow. But eventually, I need a fully new version, so I spent 2.5 hours finding the mod for the game. And boy was that shit worth it. It had me harder than Bobby talking about lane soaking. I actually stayed up until 5 in the morning not playing the game, but looking at the most disgusting things I could find on the internet.
Wow. I didn't want that to come out that way, but...
Wow.
So, there we go. That's
I think we're going to stick to this little piece of program. I like it.
So we'll run this week's through it. We'll see what it comes back with. If anybody wasn't telling the truth this week, we're going to get to the bottom of it.
It's called the DL Shaming podcast, or software, DL Shaming.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what we meant.
Super.
Bobby's thrilled about this whole concept.
Esports Corner with Chad.
Oh, with me? Yeah. Okay. So, Dota 2 Shanghai Majors wrapped up. And there was...
Explain to me, as somebody who doesn't care about esports, why Shanghai Majors matter.
So here's the deal. Dota 2 has one international. It's once a year. It's kind of like the...
The international.
Yeah. It's ran by Dota. It's ran by Valve. And it determines the winner for the year. So... What these majors are trying to do is have other events that are big enough to get news and everybody to do.
Okay.
So it's trying to, instead of having one event a year, they're trying to have 6 or 7 events a year. The problem is the Dota 2 majors, the Shanghai majors, Valve wasn't really running it. Somebody else was kind of running the show.
Right.
And they ran into a lot of problems. Obviously, we talked last week about the guy that... ended up getting fired.
Oh, Valve fired them. So Valve sent a representative to cover this?
I think Valve's writing the checks, but somebody else is running the show.
Interesting, okay.
But Valve kind of put the kibosh down on this. But they were having some... They actually had a bunch of other problems, and Valve actually came out with a... Click on the link if you could, Bobby.
Okay.
But Valve actually came out with a statement saying... Basically apologizing for... for the Shanghai Majors, and saying that we'll do better. We're going to take more control. So I think Valve was trying to let other people run
the ball. Did Bobby, you watch some of these, right?
Yeah, I watched a few matches.
Did you feel there was a lack of anything?
I watched it after all this shit went down, so it was a lot better by the time I had hopped on.
Okay.
But there were people, casters, people involved in production who were, like, taking video with their phone of the quote-unquote VIP room that they were given, and it's just, like, a chair and a room. And just, like, the really shabby conditions that things were in.
Yeah. The other thing that kind of was a big detractor from this is in Shanghai, obviously, and China's got a bunch of teams, and none of the China teams performed. And so... The audience and the crowd was not really into it anymore because none of the home teams actually performed or did anything, which was a little bit surprising because eHome, you know, is supposed to be on this kind of run, and all the China teams, you know, kind of blew it.
Well, LGD placed pretty high up there, but they're really the only Chinese team, which is uncommon for a while. Dota 2 was really dominated by the Chinese teams.
Exactly.
Now there's really only one making waves.
And Bobby, speaking to what you were talking about last week, where people don't want to give up their strategies until later on, are people... So if you have all these like majors and stuff in between, are they playing their absolute best at these things?
Well, the prize pool is $1.1 million for this. So,
of course you would. You think you would.
I'm sure they're all playing their absolute best, but I don't know if they're using their best strats and... are their best drafts, and drafting is such a big part of this game. So.
I don't know because the game's going to change by the time the next international comes, which means your drafting's going to change and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think the teams would think it's worth holding on to stuff if you're not getting another major for another 3 months. You know that sort of thing.
You know,
so you're probably seeing it.
They'll start out in the lower levels, the lower bracket, playing easier comps, not giving away too many strategies. When they start getting into the last stages of the bracket, then they'll start busting out their big guns. and doing that. And each tournament will kind of develop its own meta as well,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. Like, we saw that in the National last year. Like, certain comps were coming out, and things that we weren't seeing suddenly were cropping up every match.
Within the tournament?
Yeah, within the International.
Yeah.
I just want to... Spoilers, if you haven't seen this, don't listen for the next 2 minutes. But, so, Team Secret actually won. And I think this is kind of a big deal because Team Secret was a team that was supposed to do well at the International and kind of fell off. And that was the team with Arteezy. And then Arteezy joined Evil Geniuses, and Evil Geniuses kind of got knocked out relatively early in this format, too.
Arteezy is a problem child?
Well, he is.
He is. I don't know.
A lot of people consider him the best Dota 2 player in the world. And then,
but a lot of people are... who knows
stupid.
If it's true? A lot of people are saying he doesn't do well in a tournament setting. He's the best pub stomper in the game.
Sounds
right?
like a manager.
But I think this is...
Get into managing.
I think this is awesome, though, because I want this to be a team game. And I think I applaud the fact that five decent players can beat a couple of all-stars that don't play well together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, this is really
That's
a team
That's what you want
sport.
Out of anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think you see that. These teams that get the cohesion together and seem to act as one unit can suddenly beat all these other teams that have these all-stars on them.
You just explained the whole plot of the Mighty Ducks.
Wow.
No,
and your namesake, Emilio Estevez. All right. Also, there was a CS... a Counter-Strike tournament.
I saw a couple highlights.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see the guy that...
the pistol?
No, there was a guy that sniper shot. It was one versus two, and the sniper shot both of the dudes in one shot and won the round in overtime for the win. Yeah, so Fnatic took that. They're on this hot streak right now. They're winning a bunch of majors, but it was some impressive Counter-Strike play. I think, what was it called? IEM was the major that this one was at.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. When I saw, like, when I was watching the Korean Millionaire Gamers and whatever on Vice,
yeah,
and then they did a little thing on Fnatic, the dude was just, like, a smart investor. He's not even into gaming. He was like, well, there's this thing popping up. There was no money in it. There's a lot of eyeballs on it. So I just made a team. And that's what Fnatic is. It's a guy who came up with a cool logo and sponsored some really good players, and now he's winning in his company is winning in most of the good for him. I can't, I mean, how do these things really even start ever? You know, they just did a really good job. He had foresight, and now it's paying off, and now he gave a name to what would have been nameless. I like these five guys,
yeah,
that are going by the
LG, yeah, they used to all just have ridiculous,
right,
names,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But now they all have team,
yeah,
names and,
yeah,
stuff.
You know, while we're on the topic of esports, the European regionals were on for Heroes of the Storm, so I was watching a lot of competitive Heroes of the Storm.
If you're drinking at home, this is the time you drink for Bobby mentioning Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, but, you know, it's really nice that they've decided to split it up more. Rather than having this one huge event once a year, they're starting to split it up into seasons, because I feel like, you know, we're used to baseball, football, you know, sports that, well, football is once a week, but I grew up watching baseball. Baseball's on every fucking night. You know, I always know I can go home and watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of nice to have a little more consistency and be able to watch a lot more competitive play, number one. Number two, the second point I want to make about this, I listened to Town Hall Heroes, which is probably the best Heroes of the Storm podcast out there.
Just keep going on other podcasts,
yeah,
everybody.
Yeah.
Cool, it's fine.
Wait,
it's not like it's not like people listen to one podcast.
Is that the podcast that, like, Dump Truck, what's that dude's name? Truck?
Dump Train? He was a guest on the last episode.
I saw some of that one.
Okay, yeah, and he made a really good point, because we talked a lot last week when about fired that dude, James Too Good Harding. We talked a lot about professionalism in esports, and Dunk Train was kind of arguing on the other end of that. Not about that specific issue, but about just some of the drama that's been going on in the hero scene. And he said, you know, people are trying to make this professional on ESPN, but I kind of feel like it should be like WWE, and, you know, just like kind of more spectacle and, you know, encourage the shit talking and, you know, let's just have fun. And
like what I was saying last week.
Yeah, kind of like that. Well, he said it a little more eloquently. I mean, the comparison to WWE... I thought
you can
was
go like, fuck right off.
We'll repeat that through the lie, the truth machine next week and see what he actually meant.
I think it was the comparison to WWF or WWE that sold me, because that is, I mean, it's not like everyone takes it completely seriously, but you know, we were talking about it earlier in the show, so I don't know. I guess we already know our opinions on this. Chad, what do you think? Should esports be WWF or should it be ESPN?
Well, my whole thing is, how much money are we talking about? Because if you're talking about potentially hundreds of millions of dollars, you can't do that. Like,
can't you?
WWE
difference,
makes good money.
The difference for me is WWE, they know that it's, you know, it's theater. It's technically not real. But they still go in there and they give it 100% and they hype it up. And, you know, who's the announcer with the mustache and the bald head from back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Gene something.
Yeah.
Started with an O. But, I mean, he went in there and he played it completely straight face and super serious. You know, it's just kind of the attitude that some of these people go in and they're just like, I don't give a fuck. Whatever, you know. Everything sucks but me. Like, that's the kind of attitude that I just don't like seeing in esports. You know, I don't mind if it's cheesy and there's, like, drama, you know. But it's just like, come on. 100% this shit.
Yeah, and I think the difference there is WWE is more similar to a play than it is to a sport. You know, like, it is scripted. We know who, they know who's going to win before the end of it. Like, this is a sport. Like, treat it like a sport, you know? Mm-hmm.
I think WWE is playing to Hicks. And
You're gonna piss everybody off. You started with the Asians, now you're going to the Hicks.
Right.
What else?
And so, this kind of internet entertainment should play to nerds and internet people. And so, you can't do the old TV way of doing things. It's not old TV. It's new.
Yeah.
You can't go all the way to the edge, but it's got to be somewhere in the middle. Everything in life is somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
I think as it matures, we're going to see a little more maturity from the scene, though. It's the same thing with YouTube. You know, if you want to get like a million hits, you got to cater to a much younger demographic. I mean, that's just how it is. You can't put something real highbrow up there that intelligent people are going to...
Except for our podcast.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Well, you just excluded young people from intelligent.
Well, but what he's saying is...
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I mean, I'll stand by that.
It's almost like you hang out with high school kids a bunch.
It's almost like I work around children.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about this last week, too. But
yeah, I don't know.
I think Amino is right, where...
Yeah,
I think the answer is going to be somewhere in the middle. It's not going to be ESPN, and it's not going to be WWE. It's going to be its own thing.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of news. We're going to run through it as quickly as possible. A couple of things we already covered. So, Chad, you're up first.
So there's this whole thing about Microsoft. It's trying to basically unify the Windows gaming.
Games for Windows Live. And
No. This is a whole new thing.
Now, after they just got rid of Games for Windows Live, they're trying to pull this shit again?
Yeah. Well, basically the founder of Epic basically slammed Microsoft, saying we need to. It was basically a cry to the other developers, saying we need to stop Microsoft from doing this. The PC needs to be an open market, and Microsoft is trying to prevent it from being an open market.
Steam for years has been promoting Linux as their primary or most recommended. So there's a reason for that.
Yeah, Bobby, you're the most tech savvy and all. What's your thoughts on
wait,
all
what
this?
Are they doing?
There's a new I forget what it, UWI or something. Basically, what they're saying is they're putting stuff in Windows that makes it easier for you to develop for Windows, Xbox, tablet, Windows Phone, all these things. You can do it in one architecture and do it for all of them. The problem is they make it very easy to go on the Windows marketplace and makes it very difficult to put your stuff on the other marketplace. But since you can do it, Windows is saying, oh, it's still open. It's still an open architecture. You can still do it. And the guy from Epic says, it's not. You know, you are putting all these barriers to prevent it, to try to prevent developers from keeping it an open marketplace.
How about this? I don't even know what the Windows marketplace is called.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Microsoft keeps going in this manner, they might actually close it off, and suddenly Steam is not the place that you can buy games from. Now it's some Windows marketplace. Like, Windows can try to prevent it if they want to. They can try to make these walls and gates to prevent people from marketing their PC game as just an open architecture PC.
It's a slippery slope. It's something that won't happen overnight because people would revolt against Windows. But if they continue to do things like this slowly but surely, it kind of edges out. Yeah, it kind of edges out the competition. And that's when all this shit went down with Windows 8 and Gabe kind of made those statements about it not being good for PC gaming. That, you know, Valve started devoting a little more time into Linux, and that was kind of the backup plan. You know, if all else fails, we can just switch to Linux and still be able to, you know, game freely. But it doesn't seem like this would ever happen, but who knows? I mean, if it happens little by little, chunk by chunk, you know, one day we could find ourselves in that situation.
It's called UWP. It's abbreviated with, anyways, and basically, Windows can set up a certification process and all that you can easily put yourself through, but then you could eventually down the road see it be as the only way to get stuff out on the PC market. Because since the PC market basically is the Windows market, they can put gates in their own Windows operating system to prevent other people from doing what they want to do it.
Yeah.
And so it could be potentially a pretty big deal coming down the road. And it's not something I've really heard any of the other PC gamers talking about. And so I'm kind of curious to see how this goes.
Like Bobby said, if it gets bad enough, they'll revolt.
But that's the thing. Like, sometimes change happens slowly enough that there's no outcry for revolt, because it's all these incremented, slippery slope is a good word for it, because it just keeps going, and there's no one step that's so big that you have to stop it, and all of a sudden you're in a place where Windows controls the whole market.
Yeah. And the only reason I bring that up is because Microsoft is the type of company to pull that shit. It's going to be around in 50 years. So they're the ones, you know, they're thinking like 50 years from now, we got to have a game plan. So companies like that, they kind of think long term.
I can just see the boardroom. Everybody did high fives after this game plan. We're going to get it done. But who knows if it's going to get done. I don't know. I think this is the age of information. You try to do something shady these days,
I know,
you're going to know about it.
Yeah. But if this is step one and you don't have a problem with it, step two is going to be just as small and you're not going to have a problem with it. And step three is going to be just as small and you're not
going to. I
get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, they're seeing that Steam money and they're saying that needs to be ours. We are Windows, and that needs to be ours. So,
and to some extent, maybe they should get. I mean, I don't know, one person's not running Windows except for people that are running Apple.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're keeping our eye on you, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You are the voice.
Related to Microsoft, Microsoft announced that they were actually closing down Lionhead Studios, and they're canceling the latest Fable game coming out, Fable Legends.
Never got into Fable, so don't know.
Yeah, neither did I. But that's
a
pretty big
Fable
closing.
I got into Fable 3 a lot. I really enjoyed that game, actually, but I'm not really disappointed about this. There's a lot of people who are really into these games. They're probably...
I don't understand. Fables all did well. How is Lionhead closing down? I don't understand how companies can make...
Maybe the head of Lionhead didn't want Microsoft to take over PC game.
Maybe that is it.
The revolt starts.
Yeah.
All right, so big news, Overwatch release date is finally set. May 24th is the day.
Yeah.
You can release it today and be fine.
Yeah, apparently this came out because IGN actually leaked the release date. I don't know if you guys saw that.
An advertisement, yeah.
Yeah, so Blizzard released it the next day, so May 24th is when it's coming out.
Well, I heard they're going to open up the beta. If you pre-purchase, they're going to have early beta access at the beginning of May. Is that right?
Yeah, okay. That is correct.
That conflicts with my Doom plans, but I'll see what I can do.
You might have to shut down Heroes of the Storm for a little bit so you can focus on these other two games.
Something's got to give.
The next one is just kind of something I saw and I thought was cool, so I just wanted to bring it up. Kotaku ran an article on Wartile, and Wartile is a Kickstarter game that's coming out. But the reason I bring it up is it looks just fucking sweet. It's got kind of almost a Besiege feel. You know how it kind of looks like that plain background with just a very high resolution graphics on it.
It's a lot of hexagons.
Yeah.
It's worth the hexagons.
It's a hexagon. It's an RTS game on these very beautiful kind of maps or whatever. But they're doing a Kickstarter right now. What's the Kickstarter at right now, Bobby?
Let me scroll back up.
You nailed it with Besiege. It looks a lot like Besiege, but yeah, the hexagon thing.
Yeah, so they're at 15,000 right now, and they're trying to reach a goal of what does it say right there? 75,000.
Are you going to throw them some bucks?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it just looks interesting. So this game is called Wartile, and you guys can find it on Kickstarter if you want to take a look at what we're looking at. But I'm kind of interested to see how this goes along.
Look, listen. You just threw away $30 on Black Desert Online.
Maybe not. Maybe a listener is going to talk to me and tell me how cool this is. And next week I'm going to come here telling you, you guys are stupid for not playing this game. And this game is going to soon rule the world.
And I will still say that, thank God, my 7-day subscription is over.
Okay. So what else we got?
Mass Effect Andromeda is not coming out until 2015 or 17, which is fine because there's too many games this year already.
Seriously.
Oh, fuck, we're only 3 months in. Yahoo launches their esports department.
Cool.
So it's like yahoo.com/esports. And
similar to ESPN did one earlier this year.
Yeah.
I think Yahoo's just keeping up with everybody else.
Yeah,
so.
With the trend. So it's just like anything else. A lot of people will throw in their lines. Only a few will get a fish, but that's just how it is.
Yep.
Rocket League has a $75,000 official tournament of their own, 3v3. You know, that's the standard. I have more fun than 2v2, but I've been playing 3v3 just for the rankings.
How big? Does it go 5v5? No, it goes 4v4 is the highest, right?
4v4 is called Chaos Mode.
Yeah.
Okay. I think 3v3 is a good size for that game.
Yeah, for sure.
I like 2v2. Only because you can't get carried in 2v2. You get carried in 3v3.
There goes my strategy.
Yeah.
And,
well, 3v3, generally people play with a defense or a goalie or something, right? And 2v2, they don't.
If you spawn near the goal, you play D. That's just how it goes.
Oh, okay.
In my experience.
Okay.
Gigantic is in dire straits. They have fired half of their staff. So.
But they still haven't released yet. I mean, what the fuck?
Well, here's the thing.
Was it PC Gamer that was talking about it, or maybe another podcast? But I heard a long rant about what had happened there, and none of it is good.
Like, I don't get it.
All I gotta say is,
how long ago did we play that game? Like 6 months ago? 8 months ago?
Let's say 4 months ago. But let's say what they had there.
No, that was not 4 months ago. Because that was soon after E3. And E3 is coming up soon. So this is getting close to a year.
Okay. What they had, what we played, I played games that were full releases that were less than what we played.
Correct.
So I'm not saying they should release, but I'm saying that they could release and not get shit on upon everybody. So I don't know what's going on over there. It sounds like maybe there's a perfectionist or something. I don't know what it is. They could make money today with what I played.
Yep, and that was a while ago.
Yeah. So,
but that's like Dawngate.
No, there was something. This is starting to come back to me. It may have been a different podcast that I listened to that was talking about this.
You sent them to a third podcast?
Yeah, Idle Thumbs, great podcast.
God damn it.
It's not like people listen to one podcast.
If you guys want to listen to the Better Than Us podcast, you can find it on iTunes.
I mean, how many podcasts do you guys listen to?
Chat? One.
Zero. Okay, one.
This one.
Yeah.
Because I have to.
I think I listen to about 9. How many, Emilio, you listen to it a lot, right?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, yeah, see? So it's not like I'm deterring audience members. Anyway, I'm going to take a shot at this, and I have no idea how accurate this is going to be, but I think the problems that Gigantic is having is related to Microsoft and something that they had them do. Like, they had to remake, like, parts of the game to fit, like, certain criteria for something, and it ended up costing way more.
Like, on Microsoft, I don't Xbox have the One? Like, why is Microsoft doing any sort of...
I don't know. I'm pulling at threads here. Okay. Like, I remember bits and pieces of this interview.
So let me...
Answers are out there, and I don't think it's all their fault, so...
It sounds to me like kind of like the whole Walmart thing, where they demand prices so low that it breaks the company that's actually trying to get them the thing. So maybe Microsoft is being like Walmart, where they're just kind of bullying companies into obeying them.
Probably.
Yeah.
So even though we all use Microsoft, fuck Microsoft, I guess.
Well, the newest Forbes Top 100 came out, and Gates is number one again, so... Obviously, Microsoft is doing well.
He's not really a big part of the company.
He's not part of the company.
He still makes a ton of money on it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So, we're all done here?
Do we want to say our goodbyes before we get into our listener interview?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. So, dlgaming.net is the website. You can get to our Twitter, Twitch, Steam group, a lot of activity on the Steam group, post there, check us out, leave a review, help us out.
Yeah, and the listener spotlight's coming up right after this with Lab Monkey.
If you have a game coming out or you want to do some cross-promotion, hit me up at emilio@dlgaming.net. Other than that, I think I'm speaking for everybody in this room that titties are fantastic.
What up, guys? We're doing our first ever listener spotlight, the inaugural one of it, and we have LabMonkey 101. Say hi, LabMonkey.
How's it going, guys?
You guys might recognize his voice. He was on because he was our man on the streets for. QuakeCon, right?
Yeah, QuakeCon. Yep.
Yep, and Doom's almost going to be coming out here in a couple months, I think.
So. Yeah, early. I want to say early to mid May.
Yeah. Bobby's way excited about that. Anyways, Lab Monkey, let's start us off by let us know where you're from. What part of the Americas?
Yeah. I am currently living in Dallas, Texas. Been here for like 4 years, and plan on staying for a while. So I'll keep going to QuakeCon.
But you lived abroad for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I lived in China for a little bit. I grew up in Kansas City, though.
Can you actually speak Chinese?
Yeah, I can.
Wow. Which one? Both of them?
No, just Mandarin.
Just Mandarin.
Can we get it? Can we get a welcome to DL Gaming Podcast?
Yeah, sure. 欢迎你们来到 DL Gaming Podcast.
Wow.
Nice.
I am slightly aroused right now. All right. So what are you playing right now? What's hooking you right now?
Actually, I've been playing a lot of Nintendo games lately because I just haven't found a game on PC that's really grabbed me. I'm trying to think of the last one. I played Warframe recently. I downloaded it, got into it. But after, probably about 15, 20 hours of it, the grind was just really readily apparent. And it just kind of turned me off in a big way. Even though the combat was really fun, it had a lot of good things about it. Just that intense right off the bat grind kind of turned me off. Tonight I just started playing Factorio, which I'm looking forward to. A lot of my friends are really into it. They have their own server. So I'll probably get sucked into that because, like you guys have said, whatever your friends are into, kind of forces you into it.
And how are you liking it so far?
It's pretty good. I've just played 10 minutes of the first tutorial mission, but it's basically like an isometric Minecraft. And I don't know. I was big into Rust back in the day, so it's kind of cool to get back to that. Nice. It's just a little more technically complex, so it's nice to have that extra layer.
Now, when you say that they have their own server, are there a bunch of you guys playing on one server?
Yeah, so he's a computer guy. He does, web development. So he just has a bunch of servers around his house. So he just spun one up for Factorio.
Oh, nice.
So the max player count on a server is 10,000 or something. So obviously they're not 10,000 of us, but, we can all six hop in and just kind of add on to the base.
That's cool. That's kind of Starbound. Didn't Starbound, we have to set up our own server and everything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was on a much lower.
much lower. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how you got into games. So what got you into games to start with, and what were some of your early favorites?
So at the start of my life, I was definitely a Nintendo person.
Yeah, like all of us.
Probably. Yeah, 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 and still am to this day. That's the only console I'll buy is Nintendo. Everything else is PC. So, yeah, just a family friend gifted my brother and I Game Boys, and I remember he got Pokemon Red, and I got Dr. Mario, and I was, you know, I was really young at the time, but I was still like, you know, Dr. Mario, this is like crap. This is just Tetris. I want something deeper. So then seeing my brother have Pokemon, you know, I immediately got that, and that's kind of the first game I really fell into. And then a little bit after that, we got an N64 and GoldenEye and Zelda, and just kind of all downhill from there.
So you must be a little younger than us, because you missed the Nintendo, Super Nintendo phase.
Yeah, so I want to say it came out 2 years after the SNES. The SNES was 91, I believe, and I was born in 93. So I've gone back and played all that stuff just because I'm a huge fan of Nintendo. But yeah, I kind of missed that boat.
I didn't know you were such a big around. Nintendo fan. You're going to have to lose our number.
Yeah. No, I respect that.
What's the best shit that they've made in like the last year or two?
Everything they make is good. They just don't make very much of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely like if I just had Nintendo consoles, you know, that would really suck. It's like Nintendo kind of supplements my PC gaming.
We're always of the opinion, at least I think Emilio is also, that Nintendo needs to stop trying to be a hardware developer and just go straight software, because they would sell millions if they could put their IPs on other platforms.
I
completely agree.
Yeah, and I think that's why they're getting into the mobile phone business and the you know, I think this next time around, you know, granted I'm just speculating, but I think if they don't hit it big with hardware this time, there's going to be a lot of pressure from investors, especially to just ditch hardware. So I think it's going to all depend on this hardware cycle if they get hit or not.
For sure, for sure. Well, the last question I have for you is kind of, how did you hear about DL Gaming? How did you get into the podcast and all?
Oh, it was a long time ago, probably almost. Yeah, it was just about a year. I was really unhappy with the kind of available choices of PC gaming podcasts, because I feel like even the PC gaming podcasts that exist aren't even that PC gaming centric, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like the PC Gamer podcast didn't exist back then. You know, obviously they brought it back since then. You know, IGN didn't have their own PC gaming podcast, and then even when they started it, I just thought it was really lackluster. So yeah, you guys are really the only dedicated PC gaming podcast that I think works for really dedicated PC gamers.
Well,
appreciate
cool.
that, man. Thanks.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Which one is your favorite Mexican podcaster on the game? What'd
you say? I don't know. It depends. That one barking dog in that one episode. I think.
It was a chihuahua, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
And the last thing I just want to bring up is I want to give you an opportunity if you want to plug anything, you know, if there's anything you want to bring up to our listeners, this is your chance. Anything you want to bring up?
Well, you should have told me to prepare. I would have
I know,
given out like a Bitcoin account for them to donate money to or something. No, not really.
You want them to jump on your friend's Factorio server?
Yeah, you know, I could... You know, he'd probably kill me because people could just go in and mess up the factory. But you know, I'll think of something and I'll post it.
All right, you let us know, and I will bring it up on our next podcast.
Excellent.
I got a couple questions. Favorite PC game of all time?
Oh, that's really hard. I'm gonna have to go with Mirror's Edge, but
that's right, because you're a speedrunner.
I'm a big
right?
Mirror's Edge guy. My second favorite. Yeah, I'm a speedrunner. My second favorite is Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut.
Damn, I really got to. That's my number one on my list to go back
to. Yeah,
and play.
I got to play that.
Yep. And then, what are you most excited for in 2016?
Good question.
That's equally hard because, like, Mirror's Edge and Deus Ex come out, you know, this year.
Right.
I don't know. It's going to be hard to say. So, Mirror's Edge comes out May 24th. And my wife is due May 25th, so I don't know if I'm going to have a lot of time to play that before my life gets taken over by a baby.
Yeah.
Or maybe the opposite. Maybe I'll be up all hours of the night, so I'll be playing it anyway. Like, I'm not really sure how that's going to work yet. But yeah, I mean, definitely those two games.
Congratulations.
Okay. Between those two games and the baby, which one are you most excited about?
I don't know. My wife's in the room. I don't want to answer that.
Cool, man. As always, killing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Live Monkey. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.